Hello, good day, and welcome to my first and inaugural podcast, The Insider. I am Kayode Sonny. I am a broadcast journalist, singer-songwriter, and musician. The Insider is where we get to get deep into matters arising from all spheres of life, politics, lifestyle, entertainment, health, and so much more. Every week, I shall be speaking with experts, analysts, and enthusiasts who shall be doing justice on the subject matter. And this week, I had a chat with Jennifer Akinkwushote, a life coach and a published writer, reviewing the year 2021 and the need to be better positioned for 2022. Enjoy. Okay, Jenny, it's good to have you here for my first podcast. So let me say thank you for that, first of all.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, for coming all the way and for sharing this time with me. Yes, the essence of this is to talk about 2021. Bob Marley says you have to know where you're coming from to know where you want to go. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it's very important that we just take a look at how we have fared this year, 2021, to determine how we're going to see 2022. Mm-hmm. And looking at your works as a life coach and meeting with people and engaging with people and sharing their experiences and how they've fared in 2021. But let me start like this. Back then, before we entered into 2020, before we came into 2021, we came in from a year of the pandemic, 2020, where the pandemic struck hard and it was all over the place.
Yeah.
And the COVID-19 was all over the place, sort of different developments here and there. And then we entered 2021, hoping that things might improve. But the COVID-19 was there. So looking at how people adapted to the new normal, because as at then, what they called it was the new normal, the COVID-19 and then. Mm-hmm. So how would you assess the rate of people's adaptability to this sort of new normal in 2021?
I believe it was really, really strong, seeing as everybody was quick to, it may not have been long lasting in so many areas, but I think everyone was quick to adapt to that space with work, with how they dealt with people. I mean, now we're having so much more virtual, events and virtual incorporations into everyday lives. Where before it was just, a very limited or small scale, everybody was just gradually getting there. But I mean, with COVID, it was just quick. Everyone just came into, let's do this. This is how we can do it. Okay, how else can we do it? And I think it speaks to our ability as human beings to be able to be adaptable to any situation. However, when it comes to practices that have to do with, maybe COVID, using nose masks and everybody washing, I think old habits died hard. So it was more like, okay, we could adapt to that when the situation was pressing and felt it was, overwhelming. But afterwards, everybody does remember. But in other ways, like tech and work or work-life integrations and things like that, I think we did fairly well.
With your interaction with people, in terms of how, because the COVID-19 obviously had an effect on the economy and people need the economy to thrive, with your interaction with people and all that, would you say, yes, we've acknowledged that they came out strong, let's say January, January, February, March, you have this energy that comes, like we're going to the year with ideas, we're going to the year with, but then events started happening, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, till December.
In 2020?
In 2021, yeah.
2021. Oh, in 2021.
Yes. Okay. Like you said, when we came into 2021, we adapted stronger. But I'm thinking now, we have January, February, March, which will sort of, because other events would happen to join with it. Can we still say that, okay, looking at December now, and looking from January to December now, can we say that people maintain that sort of strength in terms of adapting?
Adapting to COVID or just...
Yes, adapting to COVID and the things it brought.
Brought on. I wouldn't be able to really speak to that. If you were to do with perhaps like goal setting, all of that energy of who you want to be, ideas, things you want to accomplish, I think it's the same as every other year. I think it's the same energy, you come into the year, you're strong, and then things just happen, and then you go all the way south. So I think that experience is just the same generic with 2021. But when it comes to you know, the effects of COVID. I think I would say that people are managing, people are trying to get by, people are doing their best, really. It seems harder for some people than others, but everybody's just, you know, stretching and just trying to get by.
You made mention of goals, so let's go back to this idea of goals. You know, okay. like the example I gave in the new year, everyone is charged up. Like, no, this is my year. I'm gonna hit this thing hard.
Yeah.
But then, you know, by the time you ask them in December now, all those goals, how far? What happened to them? Mm-hmm. And you find out that most people don't have a tangible result for all these goals they've set. What do you think causes this?
What's that word we say? There's a word we use. Something that has to do with. Is it blowout now? That's not the word I'm looking for. Sort of like burnout. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. But what causes it is because they don't have a life coach, quite frankly.
Oh.
But okay, I mean, goal setting. So, for example, one thing that I would always tell people is you're setting goals, don't wait till the new year. If you see that there's an area of your life that you want improvement, start immediately. Set that goal immediately. Don't wait. It can be, you know, we like precision with, you know, the numbers and January 1st, 01/01/2021.
New year, new me.
You know, new year, new me. Or we like, even if we want to start, I'll wait till second quarter, 01/03, you know, where it feels like you can measure in quarters that are easily. And that's fine. I mean, a lot of people need that for routine and need that for easy understanding of who they want to be and how they want to measure their goals. But honestly, I would say that whenever you notice that, there is a problem or there is a need for me to improve, there's a need for me to set a goal, just stay there, start immediately. Procrastination is one very, it's not just in the, I'm supposed to do this tomorrow sort of way, but it's also in the more generic sense of things of, this is who I want to be. Oh, I'm going to start next month to be that person. No, just start immediately. And then, of course, set goals and have measurable, you know, tracks to keep it, you know, achievable. This is what I'm going to do. This is how, you know, I've gotten there. These are the things that I would see. I'm already coaching. These are the things that I would see. You know, things like that. Just, you know, get into that space. And accountability. Don't wait until the end of the year before you are accountable. Look at the end of the week, what have I done this week? Or at the end of the day, what have I done today that has taken me closer to my goals? Really, so I mean,
so it's more of actions,
more of action,
and staying true to them. So what, how should I put this now, what should be like a sort of incentive to, how should I put this out, a sort of incentive for the individual to know that they are doing it right?
Well, that has to be very individualized. It has to be very personal. So, for example, can I ask you one goal that you want to
achieve? Okay, one goal for me this year was that I was going to make music.
Okay.
Lots of music, but I was even more music like this, I was not able to do
it. Now, that's the first problem. Lots of music. How many is a lot of music?
Okay.
Specificity. Something that you can measure. How many
songs?
So being
specific.
Yes, being specific. Also, of course, in being specific, you know that you can measure. Okay, so I want to make 12 songs this year. Measurable. So how would you know that you have made one song? Of course, you have, you know, written the song and the lyrics and the music to it. You have produced, you have, you know, done all the work. Then are you just publishing? That's where measurable comes in. Are you just publishing, or is it something that how would I put it, you're just doing in your room? Is it that you just want to write 12 songs, or is it that you want to publish 12 songs, or is it that you just want to have recordings of 12 songs? That's the measurable part of it. Of course, achievable, realistic, these are things that you can actually do. It's not that you want to go and lift Kilimanjaro. How would you do that? You know, and it has to be time bound. So 12 songs by what day? You know, having that. And when you're able to do that, for you, an incentive will be when I'm able to record all 12 songs, I'm going to take myself, for example. So it's for you to decide. So, but for example, you can say at the end of 12 songs, I'm going to take myself to Adoawaye. in Oyo State, and I'm going to just have a good time. I'm just going to enjoy with my friends. And also, you can break that incentive down. So every time you finish one tongue, it can be that you have two pizza slices or something that you would normally not allow yourself to do, and say, okay, if I'm able to finish one tongue, I'm going to go out on a Friday night to go and, you know, meet with my friends and have a good time. You know, things that it would stir you up. So that's really individualized. It's not as generic as more people say, oh, I need to constantly. That's how you motivate yourself. That's how you get yourself to be on that track to say, okay, this is who I want to be and this is how I want to go about it. And then celebrate yourself. So when you're able to say, oh, I have done this, how would you know you have done it? Oh, I'm going to, you know, buy myself a new t-shirt that has this logo. I'm going to imprint world's best musician on the t-shirt as a gift. You know, so the incentives have to be really personalized.
Still on goals and setting and all that. Sorry to keep you on this stuff.
So, I can be here for hours.
So I've seen people talk about how it's not necessary to keep goals. It's just do what works for you. And because it's like there's this negative effect of how people... okay, for example, so someone says, I want to be able to do this when I'm this. And when they don't do it, they begin to, it becomes a sort of negative... It has a negative impact on them. And they're saying, and some people are of the opinion that don't set goals. Why not just live your life freely and all that? What's your reaction to this?
My reaction is, well, works for you, works for you. Basically, I'm not one to force anybody to say, oh, set goals. It's easier for me to say because, I mean, that's my personality and that's my training to say, oh, set goals, do this, do that. But again, for example, the example you shared about someone who is sad because they're not able to achieve a certain goal, they're not able to do certain things. It's more about saying, if, for example, oh, I didn't do this, and so I'm overwhelmed that I didn't do this. That's not a good
reaction.
That's not a good place to be. You can go all the way to say, okay, so what happened that this didn't work out, or why didn't this work out? Why did that happen that it didn't work out? Why did that happen? Did that happen? We call it a principle, the five whys, where you're just able to assess and say, oh, okay, this is what happened. This is what I would have done differently. This is what I'm going to do going forward. That is one approach to it. However, if your approach to it is live life, then do that. But the only difference is, who do you want to be? Is there something that you want to... Are there specific targets or specific things or specific... maybe there's a particular person you want to be in the future. How do you go about it? You can't just live your life anyhow. There has to be a direction and there has to be magnitude. Magnitude is where we have goals come in, because you're able to measure, okay, break down that magnitude, and then that direction is now you saying, okay, this is how I'm going to go about it. So if magnitude and direction is important, if you have a certain
magnitude direction,
if there's a certain place you want to get to. But if you don't really care where you end up, you know, in future, if you just want to, for example, like some people, they live a good life, live a life where, you know, you've had it all, you know, you are, some people like that make bucket lists. It's almost like a goal. So it's almost like setting goals. It's just that you're not being smart about it. Smart dimension, specific, measurable, and all of that. It's just that you're not being smart about it. But I mean, it's still goals. But it's just you taking it as it comes. You know, so if that's what works for you, I mean, oh well.
You made mention of something now, of who you want to become and how you want to become. And since we're still talking about 2021 in review, 2020 was a year.
Okay.
I was this kind of person. 2021 is another year, and I think I'm this kind of person. 2022 is here. I'm still trying to figure out who I want to be. Should it be a concern for everyone of who they should be? And if it should be a concern, how should people give themselves identity, and in terms of being, evolving, because some people are saying you have to evolve with time. Since it's like a, I don't know if it's a standard, but people say that you have to evolve with time. And seeing that 2020 was a sort of time, 2021 too is another kind of time. And so, which means that the kind of person I was 2021 may not be the kind of person
I am now.
So how should people, okay, like I said, should it be a concern? And secondly, how should people identify their identity as far as time? Because things are changing, sort of new developments are coming in.
Okay. So I would say that basically, what's very important is you have to, I believe personally that, yes, we have to be concerned about who we are, who we want to be. If we don't have a definition, we become whatever else is open. We're not able to, there's a saying, something about if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Yes, basically like that. If you don't have, you know, a picture of or an idea of who you want to be, then whatever comes your way, you just become that person. It may not be written down. It could be, you know, something at the back of your mind. It's just more advisable to write down. As for being able to identify your identity, it all boils down, in my opinion, to values.
Values
make a man. Values make us. Values make, we're bound, whatever society is today is a summation of the values of the individual that is in society. The values that was passed down through the family unit. I think you shared that some days ago about it all comes down to
family unit.
So, you know, the values a family is able to pass down, and even as an individual, once you become an entity of your own self, self-thinking, you know, past, you know, when you're in your teenage years and you're able to decide for yourself who you want to be, you're able to decide, oh, what values do I want to inculcate? What values, who do I want to stay as? So even with times changing could also mean that your environment is changing, and what is acceptable in your environment is something that personally is not acceptable to you. What then do you do? Would you become would you stay in your, you know, in your own job? So you have to decide that this is who I am, this is who I'm going to be. As long as the sun keeps shining, I'm not going to be to stop being, you know, having integrity, professionalism, you know, things like that, empathy, this is who I'm going to be, you know. So having those values written down, identified with, and then also assessment, so continuous assessment of yourself, self-evaluation to say, okay, what have I done? I don't really believe in waiting for, of course it's good to do it, you know, quarterly, every month, at the end of the week, but for me, every day when you come back, what decisions or actions or thoughts or words did I share today that don't align with my values? What have I done today that are not in line with my values? How can I correct and how can I stop that from happening again? So keeping that in mind, and then what new values did you discover about yourself? Is it something you want to keep or something you want to do away with? And having those values just helps you. You know, it helps you define as you go on over the years. And I feel, you know, that's more of an identity.
Looking at 2021 again, with everything that happened, for example, October 2021, we had the first year anniversary of the Lekki tollgate incident.
Yeah.
We had some of government policies that came with a lot of backlash.
Mm.
Some, like every other year, but it seemed more like every new year or every kind of year. For example, 2020 came with its own kind of problems.
Mm.
2021 came with its own sort of new challenges and with a whole lot that happened. In your own assessment, would you say that we learned the lessons we're meant to learn, and did we deal with the issues accordingly? I'm talking as a nation now, as a community, as a state here.
When you say lessons, what lessons are we expected to learn, or what lessons do you think that we missed out on?
Yes.
I'm asking. What lessons do you think we missed out on?
What lessons
do you think were present, or, you know, were we supposed to focus on?
Oh, well, for me, I'm a sort of human capitalist.
Okay.
I believe in developing the people.
Okay.
For that, For me, I would say we didn't do well as far as that is okay. concerned. Because, for example, education, mm-hmm. we had strikes. We had sort of strikes everywhere, which for a nation or community that is keen on human development okay. would see how education sector is well improved.
Well, I think that when it comes to that, for example, because when you say lessons, there are so many ways we can look at it. There are so many
It's quite
doors.
Broad.
Yes, there are so many doors we can come in from. And because we're a community, we're people of diverse thoughts, diverse beliefs, diverse backgrounds, diverse thinking processes, which is common to any community at all in the world. If we're all to come out and say, what lessons do you think we could have learned? We'd all come out in different ways and say, oh, this is what we could have done better. And so in some instances, we may see that we did learn those lessons as a country. In some areas, we may see that we didn't. So, I mean, measuring that, if you know that I'm one who is very...
Okay, so in your own personal opinion...
In my personal opinion, what do I think, lessons that I think that we could have learned?
Let's like this.
Okay.
For the individual.
Mm-hmm.
For the individual.
Okay.
What lessons did you think 2021 came to teach us as individuals?
Or teach me?
As individuals. I agree that what works for this person might not work for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But at least for the majority, I'm thinking to myself mm-hmm. that there should be something that 2021 came to do to most of us.
Okay.
Or let's start with you, then you cannot spread all over.
Okay. So I think that the incidents of the year 2020-2021 really just opened our eyes to how much more intentional we should be with our thoughts and our actions, because I believe in the snowballing effect. I believe that when one action takes place and another one takes place, you know, we start to have, you know, more. It just becomes bigger. It becomes bigger. So if it's good, if it's bad, it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger like that. Just like the snowball. Snowball is not a reference many people can identify with here, but you know, it's when you're rolling, just a small one, but you keep rolling it in the dust and the dust, it becomes this gigantic thing that can even crush you. From something you can hold in your hand to something that can literally crush you with so much force into a building or a car or another person. So I do believe that it just called our attention to be more intentional. You mentioned something and you're talking about, you know, 2020 had its own issues, 2021 had its own issues. You talked about being a human capitalist. But in as much as we have those, I believe that every year would come with its own, every season would come with its own challenges, so to say, events, things that are caused by people, happenstance, or, you know, maybe the butterfly effect. You know, something will just always happen. And as easy as it may be for people to say, oh, yes, this thing happened, but some people cashed out. Some people found opportunities in them. The reality remains that some people were negatively affected.
Mm.
And if one person is affected, we're all affected. That's something that I feel like more people should put at the back of their minds. If something should happen to one person, even if we're not related, if something should happen to you, it has happened to me because we're a community. I mean, if it affects you, it could as well have been me. There's nothing that stops, you know, that incident from, you know, just changing phases and coming my way. So I believe that we should be more, would I say research-based, really, to focus on why did that happen?
Okay.
How could it have been affected?
Mm.
I think I was reading a report, or I had access to some information, and I was looking at how the UK healthcare system reinvents itself, like keeps upgrading itself. So every year or every couple of years, medical personnel in the UK have to undergo training. certain courses they have to pass. Some courses they've done before, but you know, you keep doing it because it has updated strategies, and they share, you know, live cases that have happened in certain hospitals. They share why that happened, what policy was brought into place to prevent it from happening again, strategies that medical personnel or people in the healthcare or welfare sector have to inculcate to ensure that if certain signs are being observed, these are the things that you would do to prevent it from happening again. So, you know, we have that day in, day out. You know, they keep improving. They keep, it's not, nobody's random. Nobody is, even if it's a one-day-old baby that died, why did that child die? What caused it? What can we do to prevent it? What solutions? What can we propose as problems to probably research institutes or universities, tertiary institutions, to say, okay, we need you to do research in this area to see, you know, what this problem is and how we can solve it. So, you know, I believe that that's one very key thing we have to take into place. In as much as there may be opportunities, so for example, if 5-year-old kids die from, say, polio, and somebody comes with a polio vaccine and tells it, that's an opportunity, right? But apart from that, how can we solve the problems longer term rather than making...
Sorry to cut you. For example, malaria, for example, was it not October now? Mm-hmm. The Senate, the director, the head of the National Primary Health Care went to meet the Senate to request for $200 million for mosquito nets.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a week prior to that, WHO approved vaccines, malaria vaccines. So I think I sort of connect with what you say, dealing with the challenges at the root and making sure that we're dealing with it in the at the long run and not just for the meantime.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, for me, that's more important. We can't keep hiding behind the door. Opportunity, and even solving the problem long term could bring, you know, longer lasting change, but also longer lasting opportunity, right? So rather than, I believe that we should just, in as much as, oh, okay, this is the problem, as a community, not just as individuals, partner with people, collaborate to say, okay, what is the problem? Why did this happen? And we should keep data.
Data.
Mm. I learned that personally in this year. I learned that a lot. So I'm doing
Thank you for sharing.
I did research into a relatively new field in the world, you know, at large, relatively new. And in as much as it is new, I have met data on the ground. There may not be data, which is why it was interesting for me to do research in that area, because I am breaking into new fields. I'm looking at, oh, what's possible, why did this happen, and things like that. But still, there is still a lot that I can reference to. The pages of my references are almost as much as the pages of my work itself, you know. So I believe that data is really important, people that we can refer to. So I feel like we should keep doing that, piling up on that. We learn new. Oh, okay, so this is why this is. It's how we know that...
some things are not working.
Yes. It's how we even know that what are myths that we've seen in the past are actually untrue. Maybe the Abiku or the, you know, it's probably just SS. Mm. It was just SS. You know, where we say, oh, it's Abiku, it's one child disturbing the parents. Well, it's that the blood type or blood genotype of one parent and another shouldn't be together, because this is what it caused. And when we say that, oh, okay, so emotion trumps this, how can we see that even when two such people come together, they're able to have kids? You know, so it's a steady growth, and we can also contribute to that in as much as we're solving our own problems as a community.
Mm. Now, you made mention of challenges earlier, so I want to ask, what is the, first of all, let me ask like this, is there a standard to reacting to challenges? And if there is, what should be the reaction to new challenges, most especially as individuals? How do you think individuals should, first of all, react to challenges? Because most of the time, we see what people see as... people suggest that we have problems, we have challenges. So
what are the differences? Because I'm pretty lost those.
But I prefer challenges.
Okay.
Right, because I think it sort of gives
us... Yeah, the same word, It's the same word.
Okay.
I feel.
Exactly. Okay. So what should be the reaction to challenges when someone is faced with challenges? Or is there a standard?
I wouldn't know if there's a standard way to react to challenges. I can only share what I think is optimal. When it comes to challenges, something happens. We cannot discount the place of our emotional response, how you feel, which is legit. You're encouraged to feel, but you're not encouraged to stay in that feeling, you know. So in as much as, oh, this really hurts, this is bad, or this wasn't expected, we have to also switch, take the place of somebody else, you know, just look at it from another person's angle. Who is someone you respect the most in your life? Someone who you feel that has it all covered. For some people, it's Jesus Christ. For some people, it's Muhammad. What would Muhammad say about that problem or that challenge? Mm. How would he describe it? What would he say about if he were the one in that situation? What would he do? You know, if it's Jesus, what would Jesus do? If he took a stand in that challenge, how would he look at it? How would he look to, you know, solving it? What would Jesus do about it? For some people, it could be Prophet Elijah in the Bible. What would he do about the challenge? You know, so just look at someone you really respect. That's one way to go about it. Look at someone you really respect, who you feel, you know, has the capacity to deal with anything, and then just look at how that person can deal with it. Apart from that, also as a personally, you know, reviewing, like I said, why it happened, how it happened, what could be different, what you would do differently if it comes as a challenge. And challenges are to be solved, right? Even problems generally, they are to be solved. So that's like the next thing. How can you solve it? How can you... It's unavoidable. Things happen in life. To those things, they're just happening. They don't know how else to be. They're just happening. You happen to be in the sphere or in the orbit of where they are happening. What can you do in that space? You know, that's my belief. So I believe those are two ways to work on challenges.
Now, just like two more questions to round this session up. I'm thinking now, 2021, I observed. I may not have the... Okay, I won't say I don't have the fact because I've read some data about, and I've read some articles. It's this issue of drug abuse and mental health in 2021. We see youths degenerate into this drug abuse, which is causing a lot of mental health problems. That I saw one video of how this guy was rolling inside the gutter.
I saw it.
You saw it. So
very sad.
So I'm thinking. I know you don't. I'm not sure if you have the solution for us.
I don't think.
But what should be the next line of action? Starting from the community now, to the state, to everywhere, in ensuring that... Okay, let me ask this. Why do we have this epidemic? Because for me, as far as I'm concerned, it's an epidemic. Yes, it's been with us for a long time, but it looks more like it's now on the rise. Now, I was speaking with my sister, and she's a teacher. She was explaining to me how young boys of 11, 12 are already doing correct
drugs.
Yes. In fact, she was giving names of drug substances that I've not heard before.
What?
And she was like, take it or leave it, junior secondary school student.
Wow.
Engaging in that. And it's almost like it's plunging deeper and deeper. So let me first ask, why do we have this pandemic? Why do we have this epidemic? And what should be the next line of action?
I think we have the... Wow. I'm shocked. I'm sorry. Okay, I think we have this epidemic because we've allowed it to happen. We've allowed it to run. We didn't curtail where we were supposed to curtail. I think it's also a situation that a lot of people are still ashamed of. That's when it comes to family, when it comes to... So people don't reach out for help. People, then there may be no systems in place for people who desire help to get them readily, and so they just fall back on their addictions. So I think because we've allowed it to happen is why we have it so prevalent up till dates. I'm so shocked. 11, 12, I wouldn't have thought. Anyways, for solutions, I believe that as a community, we should encourage in love, because we're quick to say, pardon my Yoruba, awon baba baba wa won se, you know, for those who don't understand, it's like saying that
our forefathers
wouldn't have done this. This is not becoming of a, you know, child. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten whose child you are. That shouldn't be the focus now. The focus should just be more about, how can I help you? If this were my child, how would I help? Which is what I feel like more people do, but they're usually the quiet ones. You know, the people who are quick to chastise are the ones with the louder voices, in my opinion. Yeah, I feel that way. But I do believe that, you know, we should have systems where we can say, okay, so this person's child has a problem. How can we deal with it? Of course, in a way that the person can be reintegrated into community or into society without feeling like, oh, they should be ashamed, or they should want to relocate. They should be able to say, hold their head up high and say, I was a part of this process and I came out on top and I'm good, you know? So having that where we can, you know, maybe centers, people who come together, elders who have proven solutions, who can help, or we can look to other communities that have resolved the same problem. There's the instance of this doctor of virology. I can't remember the doctor himself. I can't remember his name, but he uses a method for solving viral cases to solve violence in communities in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah, you should know about him. Somewhere where we should. Forward that to you. I don't know why it's keeping my head today, because I used to research him to see where he has got into with his work, because movies have been made out of the work he does. He has really done a lot. I think he came back from Africa, where he spent maybe 20 years, and then go back to the United States and saw that violence had become a norm. And so he used the practice they use in attacking viruses to attack violence, so treating violence as a virus. And I think we can do that as well. You've mentioned it's an epidemic, you know, can we treat it as such? How do we treat, you know, coming with vaccines, isolate it, solve the problem, you know, things like that. So I think we can adopt what other communities have done, or what other fields of research have done, and adapt it into solving the problem. It's just a matter of intentionality, like I said before, doing it in love, with empathy, coming from a standpoint of, I want to help, not that is bad behavior, but more like, I want to help, and then look for ways to prevent it from happening again, repeating the cycle. How can we break that cycle? You know, does it mean us banning certain drugs from our community, dealing with people who bring in such substances into our community, things like that? I think we have the solutions. It's just more about the action point.
Two more questions before we round up. So as it is now, there are speculations that 2022 may be tough, in the sense that, for example, there are speculations that fuel price may be 340 naira. Fuel price may be selling at 340 naira.
Okay.
And every typical Nigerian knows what that means, which means transport cost is high, food prices means higher, because food prices are high, so it means they are higher, which means that there may be some sort of strenuous effect to that, with that. And we are not sure of some other unforeseen circumstances. But now that we are still in 2021, how would you advise we position ourselves as individuals
for 2022?
For 2022 and for some economic... My focus is on the economy now, because economy sort of drives the
society
or something. Like that. How would you suggest
we position ourselves
as individuals?
Can I borrow... I don't know how many people know of the story of a certain governor in the Bible, Joseph, who was under a king, and he brought in the system of saving for the rainy day into a national scope. I think individuals should just exploit that, save for a rainy day. When it has to do with personal economy, invest. You know, I know some companies are opening up their share capacities for people to buy. So invest, save. I wouldn't say stock up on the food and all of that. I would say that also look to your business, entrepreneurial capacities as well as entrepreneurial. So you're working somewhere. What services can you add for the sake of the company that can bring in more returns? What can you offer your company that would help your company grow such that you have, you know, there's more abundance to the company? As a business, same thing. What other services can you add on? What other things can you offer? How? Because I feel like these things will always happen, right? The price of, for example, my new favorite, kulikuli. Kulikuli is a snack. It's a Nigerian snack made from granules.
Yeah.
Love the thing, die. Back then when I was growing up, it used to be 1 naira. Before then, it was even like 50 kobo thereabouts. Right now, if you buy 20 naira kulikuli, you are not satisfied. I've been buying kulikuli now, a pack of 500, just to be able to, you know, have the deliciousness that I need. And frankly, this didn't happen overnight. I mean, 20 something years down the line, and we have kulikuli change price, but I can still afford kulikuli.
Okay.
So it means that you just have to stretch your capacity, you know, stretch your capacity, your purchasing power, increase your purchasing power. It may not be practical. People may be saying, oh, you can say that because you know what to do. But it will mean us going back to our drawing boards, every single person. If it also means us buying into our societal capital. For example, you're part of a group of people, an association, like we were talking about earlier, an association or a union, that you can have a collective purchasing power that will make it easier, because when you buy things in bulk, you know, it's cheaper. You know, so perhaps there can be a collective purchasing power you can leverage on.
Mm.
Leverage on it. We can't do so much in isolation. If it means that you have to barter, nobody says barter is bad
extinct.
Or extinct. You can, if that's, you know, a lot of people are giving things away at this time that perhaps during the year some other people may need and are willing to pay for. Can you have that? I mean, these are just strategies. Just open up your minds and go back to the drawing board. What can you do personally, and what can you do collectively with other people? How can you collaborate with other people to increase your purchasing power? If it means increasing, so for example, let's say I put purchasing power in units. You have 1, I have 0.5, somebody has 5. That's purchasing power. But when we come together, that's like 5 plus 1, 6.5. Divided by 3, we have about, each person has like 2 purchasing power. More people, out of the 3 of us, 2 more people have increased to 2. The other person may come down to 2, but it does not erase that the person cannot. The person still saves, if you look at it, because they are just bringing something they have. Collectively, we can just, you know, get something. So that's my idea.
Okay, so lastly. So, what's the watch word for 2022?
I'm not the one I will give that to. Is there a watch word for 2022?
Okay, your last words as we look into
2022.
Be careful.
Be open. Be open-minded. Be careful, be open-minded. And do all things with, I want to say love. But I don't know how else to say it. I'm trying to see something that people can readily understand or identify with.
Maybe empathy.
Empathy feels too small.
Mm-hmm.
It feels too small. Because empathy means you're putting yourself in another person's shoes, right? Love means that even when you put yourself in another person's shoes and you still don't see reason for it, you're still able to do what you would naturally do, what your values would naturally accept. For me, that's love. So do all things in love.
So be careful.
Be careful.
Be open-minded. Do all things in love.
I think I have one more. And that's when you discover you've made a mistake, don't be afraid or ashamed to correct it. Either in your personal closet or outside, you know, where everybody can see. Like, correct yourself. Even when nobody noticed, correct yourself. There's no, we're all here for each other. Nobody has it perfect. So, correct yourself. So, what was the first three? Be careful.
Be open-minded. Do all things in love. And do not be afraid to correct yourself.
Your mistakes, yeah.
Such an exciting time with you once again,
Thank
Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad that you made it this far. I'm so glad. And I'm hoping to see your works very soon.
Yeah.
Your project. I'm hoping that we can adapt some of your project works into reality, real life.
And we get
it. So watch out for Jennifer. Watch out for Jennifer. She has some amazing stuff. Trust me. Give her the social media so they can follow you.
Okay, so social media, you can find me at Jenny Okoyin. Just that. JennieOkoyin. And from there, you'll see other stuff that I do that I'm interested in, I'm passionate about. Just Jenny Okoyin.
Thanks for joining in this week. I trust you had a good time. Please anticipate the next episode and please subscribe to my channel, The Insider. Till I come your way again, stay lifted.